Hamu. Okay, so we're starting on top of Daf Hey, Hey Amud Aleph. I'm assuming you haven't got a chance. Most people got a chance to see the Gemara. Whoever didn't, we'll try to catch you up. Okay, Daf Hey, Hey Amud Aleph. So someone want to remind us about the basic premise of the Mishnah? The Mishnah again is on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. Without seeing the Mishnah, it's very hard to know what's going on here on Daf Hey. So Yoni, you want to just give us a quick chazar of the Mishnah?
Yeah. So man can acquire a woman three ways. Kesef, shtar, money, document, yeah.
Good.
Could also be sheva, kesef.
Good. That's very important point. What does Shava Kesef mean?
It's worth money.
Because that's how happens to be a whole separate sugya in the Gemara earlier. What? How do we know Shava Kesef? But the Mishnah just presents it as a given that just like I can use money, I could use the equivalent of money. Let's assume that I have to use a pruta. So machlokas in the Mishnah whether it's a pruta or a dinar. So if I have to use a pruta, let's say a pruta is 10 cents. So if I have to use 10 cents, I could either give the woman a dime, I can give her something that's worth a dime. Traditionally, we use a ring, which is shava kesef. It's shava kesef. I don't actually hand over kesef. I give over shava kesef. Let's say a fellow finds himself without shava kesef. His ring is lost, or his ring is not worth the pruta. He thought it was worth the pruta, right? He spent 10 cents on it, and he thought it was really worth 10 cents, and then he gets to the chuppah, and the edim say, no, my father's a jeweler, and this is not worth 10 cents. This is worth only 7 cents, right? Now he's stuck. Can he use kesef? Yeah, of course he could use kesef. He could take 10 cents out of his pocket and say, "Harei at mikudash atli with this money." You wouldn't say b'tavat. You would say with the kesef. Right, that's fine. So that's a separate. That's a very good point, Yoni. So we have kesef and shava kesef. That's a subset of kesef. Shtar and bia. By the way, when the Mishnah says that shtar works for kiddushin, what's the shtar? Not the ksuba. It's not the ksuba. Ksuba is a separate document. It's not the Tanaim. Tanaim is a much later introduction, right? It's some form of written document. Some form. It is a shtar. Shtar is a document. But she what? She doesn't sign it. She doesn't sign it. But you're good. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says what? How does it work when I give kasef? What do I do when I give kasef? What do I say? Hariyah mekudash asli, b'kasef zu. Right? Today we would say hariyah mekudash asli b'tabad zu, because we use the shava kasef. But what about shtar? Someone want to read the Rashi there? Aaron, you want to read the Rashi? Yeah, you see b'kasef b'shtar? No, no, I'm daf beis, I'm sorry. I just want everyone to know what we're talking about when we get to Daf Hey. Someone with a traditional Gemara? See? Too high tech. It's not good. With what? What case is that referring to? Kesef or Shava Kesef, right? You say, you give it to her and you say, Hariyat Mikudash Asli with this Kesef or with this Shava Kesef. Good.
Right.
Shtar. Stop. What does he do?
You write on a piece of paper.
He says. No. That's already commenting on the Shtar. But what does he write in the Shtar? Kosev Lal Anir. That's sort of parentheses, even though it's not worth a shava pruta itself. Again, that's not our issue. That's a separate issue. But let's say the paper is not worth a shava pruta.
We had a question: why? I mean, from a Mishnah, you would assume it wouldn't have to be three separate.
Good. That's a very good question. Well, you want to repeat it a little louder?
Yeah. Just the question was about why you needed to state that, because from the Mishnah you would think that three separate institutions, why would you ever assume it would have to be worth the shtar?
Right? I'll restate the question. It's a good question. Why is Rashi going out of his way to tell us that the shtar works even though it's not worth a shava pruta? That's going to be a very important point, so let's hold on to that question. Right? What Mark is saying, Morris, I'm sorry, Morris. Yeah. Morris is saying that if you look through the Mishnah, it seems that the Mishnah is telling us that there are three separate ways to be Mekadesh a woman: Kesef, Shtar, and Bia. Now Rashi says, how do you effectuate Kiddushin with a Shtar? You write on the Shtar, like Aaron said, you write on the Shtar, Hareyat Mekudeshes Li, and you give it to her, and she accepts it, and she's Mekudeshes. Well, you should know, says Rashi, the Shtar doesn't have to be worth a Sheva Pruta. Who cares? Why does it have to? Why would you think it has to be worth a Sheva Pruta? It's not Kesef. Right? Kesef has to be worth a certain amount. Sheva Kesef has to be worth that amount. But Shtar should be a separate idea. Good. So let's hold on to that question. That's a very important question. That's it. It's in the Shtar. He writes it in the Shtar. Yeah, it's passing a note in class. And she accepts it, right? Okay, good. So let's jump back now to Daf Hey. So that's just getting an understanding of how Shtar works, or what Shtar is exactly. But well, you know what? Before we do that, one other point, I'm sorry. One other point which I think is important in order to understand the Gemara and Daf Hey. The Mishnah also says that there are two ways that a woman could get out of the marriage, right? Get out of the Kiddushin. Or get out of the marriage. What are they? Get. Misa Sabal. Those are two ways that a woman gets out. And what is the lashon that the Mishnah uses to describe that phenomenon? Vekones Atzma. Right? Vekones Atzma. She's nicknames, she is acquired, she's brought into his Rishus in one of three ways, and she gets out in one of two ways. What does Rashi say is the meaning of Vekones Atzma? It's the third line down in the Rashi's there. Avi, you want to read that?
Yeah, sure.
It's a very important Rashi. Not just here, this is important Rashi throughout the Gemara, throughout this parak. Yeah.
Lios
Birshusa.
Lehin Asa.
Good. Excellent. What does that mean? What does Lios Birshusa mean? Right, she's back. She's in her own Rishus. She's in her own domain. She's back in her own Rishus, really. Right? Where was she before she got married? She was Birshusa. Right? A single woman she's free to marry whoever she wants. Right? Assuming that she has no psul. She's allowed to accept Kiddushin from whoever she wants. She's Birshusa. Once she gets married, whose Rishus is she in? She's in the Rishus of the Baal. She's now an Eishes Ish. She can't do what she wants now. She's spoken for. She's designated to this man. How can she get herself out of that predicament, out of that situation? One of two ways. I don't mean a predicament in a bad way, right? Unless it's a bad marriage. But how does she get out of that situation? One of two ways. Get or Misa Sabal. But how does Rashi describe that? Lios Birshusa Lihinase Lacher. So what does it mean she's Kona Tatsma? It doesn't really mean that she's Kona, but she's back in her own domain. She's back in her own Rishus. Neither of those two things are in her control?
Yeah.
That's right.
If her husband dies, she gets a get.
Right. She...
That
she's Konas Atzma. That's why Rashi is good. Aaron's making a very good point. It's EC. See, earlier when we went through this, some of the guys were a little bit, I don't know about upset, or just found it interesting that the Mishnah is using this lashon of Kinyan. And there's a whole separate discussion when we talk about being Kona a woman. Is it the same as a Kenyan that you effectuate on something else? Is it like getting metaltolin, right? Is it the same? Certainly you wouldn't tell a woman that, right? Just like I'm a Kona, it's like I'm Kona a cow, I'm also Kona a woman, right? Certainly we assume that there's more to a Kiddushin than there is to acquiring a cow. But the Lashon is very similar. So there might be aspects of Kenyan to it. But Aaron's point is well taken, that when the Mishnah says she's Kona es Atzma, if you really understood it to be Kona like a Kenyan, it's difficult. Why? Because she doesn't have control over either one of those things. Right? She can't demand the get. Right? The man has to give the get. She can't say, okay, I want to get, so therefore I'm divorced. You see, unfortunately, a lot of cases like that. A woman wants a divorce and she can't get out of a marriage. Why? Because the husband says, no, I'm not giving a get. It's he's the one that gives the get. Similarly, she can't, under normal circumstances, she can't cause him to die. I mean, she could kill him, but right? But Misa Sabal is something that's sort of natural. So when it says Kona, you see it's not really, not 100% pure Kenyan. It's not a pure kinyan of acquisition. It means that there's a transfer of control. She's now not under his control. She is under his control. Right. Okay, that's very good. So now let's turn to Daf Hey. Okay, is everyone clear on this? You gotta speak up. If there's something that you're not clear on, please let me know. I'm just.
I'm fully set on Rashi's explanation of the point of that.
What do we say?
I'm still not sort of like settled with Rashi's explanation. Like, I just feel like there's no explanation there.
Aaron's point is what you have here is a kinyan without a real Maisa kinyan. I think that's what you're bothered by, right? But you see that there are cases, even in pure kinyanim, where you can have that. Where you could have that. It belongs to you. It does. It belongs to you. Something that's
so,
on you.
But acquiring means like
that you're bothered by the same thing that Aaron's bothered by.
Yeah. You have it. It's yours. That doesn't mean you.
But yet we refer to it as a form of a kinyan.
That was previously not yours.
That's right. It wasn't yours before, and now it's yours. It's a transfer of what? The transfer of ownership. It's a form of it. It doesn't have to be a good thing. What do you mean? You mean can you have some? Can you make a kinyan on something that you can acquire responsibility? Okay, so we have cases like I'm not sure what you're referring to. You have a specific case in mind, or?
In case of inheritance, right?
Yeah.
So let's say the person writes their will. So right when they pass away, it's considered that even if you have no idea they passed away, it's considered that you're Kona.
See, Irving's saying that the whole concept of kinyan, getting back to Jonah's question, the whole concept of kinyan, legabi kedushin, is not the same as regular kinyanim, right? Does he own? That's what happens to be machlokas. That would be machlokas. To what extent is there a kinyan kedushin? When we say there's a kinyan kedushin, how much does the man acquire? Does the man own? Does he have bilus over the woman or not? Do we say that the kedushin effectuates a certain relationship? Right, that happens. It's a classic machlokas in the Achronim. But if you understand that it's not really a kinyan of bilus, it's more of a kinyan of rights and zechusim. Right, you have certain rights and control, I guess, to an extent. I'm trying to use nice lashon, but right. So you understand that when the woman is acquiring something, she's acquiring her own. She's acquiring her independence. Oh, ba'alut, ownership. Sorry. I'm trying to. Okay. All right. For those that want to know, just a little bit of the background. The Gemara on Daf Beis already discussed Kasef, and the famous limud for Kasef is really from the Maras Machpela. The Gemara says, "The Kasef may nolan." How do you know Kasef works? It's not just picking on Shtar. The Gemara is going through all of the methods of Kedushin. We already dealt with Kasef. Kasef may nolan. How do you know Kasef? From the case of Stei Ephraim, the Torah says, "Ki yikach ish isha." Use the lashon of kicha, of acquiring, of acquisition with regard to marriage, and he uses the same lashon of kicha with regard to purchasing the Stei Ephron. So the Gemara says, kicha kicha mi Stei Ephron. Just like by Stei Ephron, Avram used money, over la socher, he used money to acquire the Sadeh and the Ma'ara. So too, kicha over here means acquiring through Kasef. So just like the Ma'ara was acquired with Kasef, so too, a woman could be acquired with Kasef. That's Kasef, and again, obviously there was a lot of discussion. And that, hey, the Gemara says, okay, fine, Kesef, I'm satisfied. What about Shtar? Question? It's an important point. The whole concept of Kiddushin is post-Matan Torah, right? Once Klai Yisrael was given the Torah, it's a little bit of a hashkafa point, but I guess Kedai to mention. Once Klai Yisrael was given the Torah and made into a nation of an Am Kadosh, so now even the way they would effectuate these relationships had to be different. It had to be manifested differently. That's what the Rambam describes at the beginning of Ches Ishas. Then there was an institution of Kedusha. But before that, no, didn't have to be. The same relationship could have been established before. But it's a good point that the Lashon of Kicha also refers to taking of a spouse, even there, even in the case of Amram and Yocheved. Okay, Daf Hei. Uminayin Sha'af Bashtar. Would someone like to read just the pshat? Anyone? You want to give a shot? Oh, sorry. Okay. You gotta be fast here. Go ahead. So one second, what's the question now? Uminayin Sha'af Bashtar. How do you know? Uminayin, from where do you know Sha'af b'shtar. Sha'af b'shtar what? Just a pshat question. How do you know that shtar works to create kiddushin? Right? You told me kesef, fine. Now we're up to shtar. Show me that shtar works. So the Gemara answers. V'dinhu. V'dinhu, it's logical. How so? Eino din shemachnes. What does that mean? V'dinhu. It's logical. Uma kesef she'ein motzi machnes. Kesef, which doesn't do what? Doesn't get you out. Doesn't get the woman out. Woman can't say, listen, I'm really unhappy. I'll give you $1 million. Let me go. Doesn't work. Only two ways. What are they, Yoni?
Shtar.
Shtar, get, and Yisabal. Ain't a motzi, right? It means it doesn't. The man should pay her to give money. It'd be interesting. Either way, that's right. Either way, money doesn't work.
Meaning it says, yeah. The man paid her by her to get in. So I'm saying she would have to pay him back.
Well, that's what I'm suggesting. Avi's saying maybe no. Maybe it means no. That he can't get. He gives the get.
So that's what I'm saying.
I understand what you're saying. It's a good point. Either way, money doesn't work to dissolve the marriage. There's no concept of money serving as the method of dissolving the marriage. And yet, money does do what? Brings her in. It makes the kiddushin. Is that clear? I'm just a pshat. Shein moti machnes shtar. Ein on din shemachnes. Isn't it logical that if it works to do what? If it works to get her out, it certainly should work to get her in. All right. Now, just before we even go further than that, can we explain that? Just pshat. What do you see from this statement? What is the Gemara saying about the nature of these two steps, going in and going out? I'm sorry. Can you remind me your first name?
Daniel.
Cohen.
Yeah.
Daniel. You want to take a shot?
Seems like that the standard is the removing and then like the halachot follows that in some sense.
Okay. When you're saying good, what does v'dinhu mean? V'dinhu means it's almost like a kavachomer. I mean, it is a kavachomer. What's the kavachomer? So when you have a kavachomer, you're comparing two things. You're comparing something that's chamur to something that's kal. So, is it divorce? That's what you're saying, right? You're saying that the standard you start with is going out. Leaving the marriage is more difficult, is more chamur. So the Gemara is saying, you see that kesef doesn't work to get you out, right? It doesn't work to get you out for the chamur, but it works for the kal. It works to get you in. So shtar, that works to do what? To get you out. Certainly it should work to get you in. Agreed? Good question. It needs to be understood, right? This is a difficult call. Why is that a kalvachomer? Why is it not a kalvachomer? When you're asking that, what do you mean? What are you bothered by?
They seem to be two different things.
Excellent.
Maybe they're related, but I don't see why one is like more so than the other.
Good. That's the first question. First question is, what's the comparison to kesef? Why are you trying to prove to me from kesef? Why are you trying to create this kalvachomer from kesef? That's the first question. Yeah, Irvin. You going to answer that or are you going to... You trying to figure it out?
Yeah.
All right, can you wait 1 second? What's the second question? Second question is, why is one more chamer than the other? Right? Forget about the relationship to kesef. Why is it necessarily the case that going out is more chamer than going in?
Isn't that our first question?
Well, it's related. I'm saying it's a two-part question. What's the comparison to kesef? Why are you building this kal v'chomer off of kesef? And regardless of why kesef, why are you assuming that going out is more chamer than going in? Okay? All right, you want to speak it out? One approach to take, I think a number of the guys are saying, is that the comparison here is in terms of this concept of kinyan, right? Just like kesef is this universal kona, and it works to bring you in, doesn't work to bring you out, look at shtar. Shtar works to get you out, more chomer, and it's a form of kinyan, it's a kona, so it should certainly work to bring you in, the more kal, but in order to say that, you have to say that what? You have to say shtar, like kesef, is a vehicle of kinyan, it's a form of kona. And therefore, just like if it could bring you out, which is more chomer, then certainly it could bring you in. But the comparison for the kal v'chomer is in the basis of this kona, this kinyan. That seems to be the kal v'chomer. Now you're saying that shtar is not an independent idea, right? Remember we said at the outset, Morris said, why would I think, when Rashi says, why would I think that shtar has to be shavar puta? Why does Rashi have to go out of his way to tell me, even though the shtar is not worth a shavar puta? Right? This on some level might speak to that question. I'm not saying 100%, it's still a question that needs to be, why would I even think to equate the two? Maybe just say it's totally independent. Over here, we're saying, well, shtar and kesef are very similar. Right? Just the same way that kesef works because it is the kona, everywhere, in Mecca, Chumemkar, throughout halacha, kesef works because it is the kona. Except for divorce. There might be other cases where kesef doesn't work, but it doesn't work over there. So too over here, shtar works as a kona, as a vehicle of kinyan. So if it works as a vehicle of kinyan, and we're comparing it to kesef over here, it could be that there's a reason to think that it might also require all the other requirements of kesef. I'm just saying that's a superficial answer, but there's more to be said. But at least now you can understand the kal v'chomer, right? If kesef works to go in, doesn't work to go out, then certainly shtar, which works to go out, and it's comparable to kesef insofar as its abilities to be kona, insofar as its effectiveness as a dover that can create a kinyan, certainly it should work to bring you in. Why? Because going out is more difficult. I'll just mention, Jonah's asking a good question. Does he have to say anything when he gives over the shtar? Rashi in back on Daf Beis describes the other processes, kesef and bia, and both of them seem to have some type of amira that go along with the maisa. I give over kesef or the shelva kesef, say harayat mikudash asli with this ring, with this money. I give over the bia, right? The couple engages in bia. There's something that's said. The lashon might be a little bit different, but he says harayat mikudash asli with this bia somehow. But by shtar, Rashi doesn't mention anything about an amira. Other Rishonim do say that, by the way. Other Rishonim say you also have to accompany it with some type of verbal statement. Again, it's not our sugya right now, but why would you say that is? Why would you say, according to Rashi anyway, that you don't need an amira? That's your question, right? Why?
I was just asking the facts, but I think I have a problem.
You want to answer that question?
Not that
question?
You don't need a statement.
According to Rashi, you don't need a separate statement. Money, you do need a statement. Shtar, it's enough to write it inside the shtar. Like Aaron said, you pass a note in class, the girl, she nods her head, she accepts it.
Maybe that's how shtar is.
Because you don't need an amira?
Because intrinsically, it is a statement.
Good. So you're making an assumption.
You never give a gift. The
money is not that one anyway. The real money was gold.
That's good. So now you get another question. Why does money work? Right? What about money work? No, it's a good question. Why does money work? Right? That's the whole first few blot of the parak. All deal with why money works. Right? And one nafkamin would be, I realize we're all over the place now, but one nafkamin would be why money works, whether or not shava kesef is something that I could logically derive, or whether or not I need a pasuk to teach me that. And machlokas in the Mishonah, whether or not I need to teach you shava kesef, or whether you could know it logically. Why would you say I know it logically? Right, so if you say money works because it's representative of value, if it's representative of value, then something that's worth the same amount should work logically. I don't need to prove that to you. But if I say, on the other hand, that money, no, there is something special about money. Money is a certain cheftza called money, kesef. Kesef mateches. It has a certain intrinsic value. Then, in order for me to know shava kesef, you need to teach that to me. And that happens to be a machlokas in the Rishonim, whether kesef is, right? Whether shava kesef, rather, shava kesef needs to be taught to me, or shava kesef I know logically, for that reason. And that's the question, why, what's so special about kesef? But getting back to the shtar, so I think Irving is getting at in terms of the Amira, right? If I learn that the Amira is part of the process of the Kiddushin, it's part of the Maisa Kiddushin, then I'm going to need it even though I wrote it in the Shtar. If it's part of the Maisa Kiddushin, it doesn't matter. I have to say it, right? I'm a Kiddushin. But if I say the Amira is not part of the Maisa Kiddushin, but it's something that gives explanation to the Maisa, right? It gives context to the Maisa, then when it's manifest in the Shtar, why do I need it? I don't need an accompanying Maisa. You follow?
You give money for any number.
Right, if I give money, who knows why I'm giving it? I could give you money for anything. So
the
shtar that says, Harei HaMikudashas, if you tell me that the only reason for the Amira is to give context to what I'm doing, I don't need that. The context is not necessary. It's muchach. Muchach mitocho. Aaron, you follow what we're saying? Right, so the shtar itself speaks for itself. I can only say the shtar speaks for itself if the purpose of the Amira is to explain what's going on. But if the Amira is a necessary component of the Maisa Kedushin, then I'm still going to have to say Harayat Mekudashas, even though it says in the shtar, which just sounds kind of funny. But there are Rishonim that learn that way, not like Rashi. Did that answer your question, John?
No, I was just asking the facts.
Oh, those are the facts. Okay. Okay, go ahead. Are you saying that by virtue of the fact that there are more ways to do it, therefore you see, or less ways to do it, you see that one's more difficult than the other? You're not saying that. Okay, so what are you saying?
I'm saying that the shtar itself is a...
Right, but where do you see that? Where do you see that shtar is more... has a higher threshold? Right, so you are saying that because there's only two ways to do it, it's more stringent. So what is it? Right, so what is it? No, let me hear what you want. Let's talk it out.
There's only one. I mean, I'm not counting.
Right, okay, so let's take out Misa.
Okay, so basically, you have to follow.
See, there's an idea of, you talked about Das before. There's an idea of Das. Das plays a role in the context of Kiddushin. Right, Gemara talks about a sukin bosa inyan. If they were talking about the marriage before, and we assume that their das is that, then you know sometimes something that's done later could be construed as a mice of kiddushin because there's an innate rotzon to effectuate kiddushin. But I don't know that that's what distinguishes the stringency of the process of kiddush of gitin gerushin from kiddushin. And I understand why you're saying what you're saying, but I think we need to try to explain a little bit further. To explain why it is. Why is it that way? What is it about divorce that makes it stricter? It could be that you're right. It could be that since it's strict, so therefore there's only a limited amount of ways to do it. But I don't think we could say that it is stricter because it's limited. Right? Sometimes you have a kula. What's that? Okay.
As in if you end up sleeping with someone who you're not really married to, or you haven't really done Kiddushin, right? It's less bad than if you're actually married to someone and then you do Kiddushin to someone else and start sleeping with someone else, then you're committing adultery, which is a further violation.
Okay, it's good.
So it seems that an improper divorce is a worse situation than an improper Kiddushin.
So that you want to explain the Kal v'chomer in that context? Kal v'chomer.
Yeah.
So speak it out. Let me hear what you're saying.
Divorce can get you in a lot more trouble, and improper divorce can get you in a lot more trouble than improper tuition. So since we're worried about that, we therefore are stricter. We are more strict when it comes to why you can do it.
Well, let me just stop you for 1 second. Why do you have to say we're stricter? Why don't you say it is stricter? Inherently it's stricter. It is, for the reason that you're mentioning.
Yeah, okay, so inherently it's stricter. And I'm
That's why you need one thing that you can.
Well, I forget about one thing. That's not. I don't have to get into that. Look at the nature of the thing itself. That's what you're saying. You're saying, look at the nature of the thing itself. I think Jonah, I think it's, you're not disagreeing with him, right? You're saying, you don't know if you're disagreeing. He's saying, to get divorced, right? If the nature of divorce is more chomer, you have to explain why is it more chomer, right? So we're not saying it's more chomer because there's only a finite amount of ways to do it, or limited amount of ways to do it, or more limited than kiddushin. That could be for a different reason. But the nature of what's going on in Gerushin, potential Gerushin, is more chomer than what's going on in Kiddushin. Why? What are we talking about? We're talking about Isser. Right? We're talking about Isser. What's the Isser? You said before.
What do you mean? If she gets remarried or whatever.
Right. What Isser is that? So what Isser is that? What do you call that? You're right. What is that called? Ashish. Ashish, right? Ashish? One thing, that's pretty serious stuff. Right, but we're talking about going in and going out. Which.
Pushing it back further. Like, okay, fine. So this is kind of more because of. We have this other institution of Ashish, but why is it. Like, it's not an answer question.
No, you have a woman who's married now. You have a woman who's married, and you have a woman who's not married. Talking about the woman getting married and the woman who's already married. So if I show you that shtar, we'll call it get for a moment, but we'll say shtar. If I show you that shtar works for the gerishim, for the going out, is that the chumra or the kula in a kal v'chomer situation? Given, this is a given. Given that shtar works for one of them, and it happens to be that shtar works to get out of the marriage. Which one is that the more chomer or the more kal?
Like, I know what the word means. Like,
well, that's the question. How you learn the kal v'chomer? Exactly. So what do you say? Chaim's name?
Yeah.
So Chaim's saying is that we have here a potential. You're talking about Isser. You're talking about Isser. So we're talking about Isser. Listen, don't let me say. If you guys want to say something else, let me know. Let me just explain what he's saying. Then what I think Chaim is saying is that you're talking about Isser here. You're talking about Isser, and this undoes Isser. This undoes Isser. If it undoes Isser, which is Chomer, then certainly it could work to do something that's more Mekel. Whose pshat is this? No, it's not mine. Not my pshat. Whose pshat is this? Did anyone see the Ritva? Does it sound like the Ritva? This is the Ritva's pshat. He uses different lashon. The Ritva uses the lashon of koach de'etera. It says koach de'etera adif. So he says if you, again, this is only in the kal v'chomer. We didn't even see the Gemara's rejection of this kal v'chomer. But in the presentation of the kal v'chomer, according to the Ritva, which is I think what you're being mechavin to, is that the Gemara is saying nothing to do with kinyan and kesef. He's moving away from kinyan and kesef, which is the other shita, the other approach to Rishonim. But the Ritva is saying it has to do with Issevater. Issevater. Marriage being dissolved is serious business, right? Because what hangs in the balance is Isser v'Eishes Ish. That's an Isser. Right now, this woman's Usser. She's Usser to everybody here. Why? Because she's married to that guy over there. She's Usser to everybody, except to him. What do you want to do? You want to make her permissible to everybody? That's serious business. That's being Matir and Isser. If you tell me that this piece of paper does that, the shtar could work to be mati her, right? Then clearly it could work to make her usser. To make her usser, which is much more kal. Here I'm just making her usser. What's the big deal? So no one will be able to sleep with her. Okay, fine. No one will be able to live with her. Not a big deal. That's what Chaim's saying, right? I think Jonah was headed that way. This is the Ritva. This is essentially the Ritva. That the kal v'chomer is in terms of isser v'heter. If you tell me that a shtar could work to dissolve the marriage, and really that's being matir and isser. This is a chesed shel isser. This woman is like a chesed shel isser. Now I can come along and I can say, she's mut materis. That's a big step. If I could do that, then certainly I could say, okay, she's mutter before, now she's usser. That same document could certainly do that. That's the kal v'chomer according to the Ritva.
Why is it that
Why is that more kal?
Yeah.
Why is that more ma? What kal? So what would you say? Well, I was just explaining that.
What's the big violation? What's your big concern about if she's suddenly asked from everyone else? That's not nearly as big of a deal as if you make her
creating Isser. He told me in one case you're talking about creating Isser, saying something that's Usser, or positing that something is Usser, as opposed to being Matya, something which is Usser. Which one is more serious? You are creating another Isser. No, what do you mean? No, right now. Forget about the fallout. Right now. She's single. She's, let's say, a single woman. She's mutaris to everybody. So I'm creating Isser from Heter. Is that so hard to do? As compared to saying something that is Isser and I'm making it mutter, which one's more difficult? Right, I don't mean difficult in terms of effort. What do you think it means? It's not just complicated either. What does it mean? Yeah, halachically speaking, if I have something that is inherently usser, this is usser right now. Chaticha shel isser. Chasa shel isser. It is halachic, no, but I'm saying now it has a status. So to take away a status of Isser.
But to give it a halachic status, why is it different than take away a halachic status? Like,
okay,
it sounded like you were just saying that, okay, so let's have a piece of meat. Oh, so I said it's Isur, it's easy. But who's saying it's actually Isur? Like, I could posit a halachic status, but it actually has a halachic status.
Yeah, but in terms of result, it's definitely less serious to say something
that's sure. Yeah, but that's just a positing, like I could posit anything. But this is actually giving it a halachic status. Why is actually giving something a halachic status not as difficult as taking away a halachic status?
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? I don't want to try to answer the question. Try to explain it. Right, you're talking about results. You're talking about the effect and the result. I'm trying to explain in terms of the thing itself. When do you have this concept of koch da'ater adif, generally speaking? We mentioned before. Right? The Gemara talks about it, koch da'ater adif. What does it mean in the traditional setting? If you want to say something that's mutter, you need to be able to back it up. You really need to have the weight of the argument on your side. If you say that something is usser, not such a big deal. And big deal, I mean, if you say it's usser, okay, no one's going to follow up on you. You said it's usser, now it's usser, right? So the Ritzel doesn't mean it quite in that way over here. He's using that terminology in terms of isser v'eter. So why is it more, quote-unquote, chomer? Why do you need more koach to be matir in isser, where the status is already there, as opposed to creating the status of isser? We still have another problem with this approach of the Ritva, and that is where Kesef. Where does Kesef fall in? This approach doesn't really yet speak to Kesef. Right, we still have to bring that. The Gemara says, look at Kesef. Right, what does Koch Da'atera have to do with Kesef? You're just looking at Shtar right now. You're looking at dissolving the marriage or creating the marriage, but you're not really accounting for the comparison to Kesef. That really has to be worked in here as well. Okay, so tomorrow, by the way, we're both saying tomorrow.